not saying I'm gonna change the world. I do guarantee that I will spark a brain that will change the world. Welcome to the Mookie Mel Show. Officially in the building, baby. Welcome everyone to the Mookie Mel Show, brought to you by yours truly, Mookie Mel. I'm very excited. Got another great episode lined up for you all. We'll be joined with you by my dear friend, constituent, partner in the podcast, Jigga Man. Today we will be hitting the topic of dating and significant others. We'll be hitting the three subtopics per usual: social, sports, and scholars, and how dating and or significant others can relate to the following three topics or subtopics or subcategories or the three S's. I think it's going to be a good, interesting dialogue, especially since Jigga Man and I have grown up together. We've been friends for over a decade, so it's interesting to see how our decisions and whom we determine to have a serious relationship or significant other may become, or idol prospects or whatever. I think this is a great topic for a lot of young adults, teenagers, and even elders or old adults who feel young. But let's jump right into it, y'all. Jigga Man.
Yeah.
Gonna say what's up to the people, bro.
What's up, y'all? For the new listeners, my name is Justice. I do the podcast with Miles. For everyone else, this is like our 15th, 16th episode, so y'all know me. But I agree with Miles. Dating is a really fun topic because it's easily relatable no matter what sexuality you are, no matter what gender you are. It's just everyone could relate to this topic. Let's dig into this, Miles. Let's do it.
Yeah, Jay, I think we're in store for a doozy here. As humans, we naturally yearn for companionship. Despite whether someone may be an introvert, extrovert, we all yearn for other people's attention or even, their energy or merely presence. That's why solitary confinement is harsh and cruel and unusual punishment, because we are animals. We're naturally meant to be social creatures. We look for engagement from others. So let's just jump right into it, Jigga. There's no more discussing and dancing around it. Let's get right into it. Let's further discuss dating and social. So Jay, when looking for a significant other or even potential candidates, what are, let's say, the top three biggest factors or components or things you look for in someone who could potentially be a future girlfriend, wife, or maybe someone you just entertain for the moment?
Yeah, man. So it's funny for me to see how much ours will be in common, or if they won't be in common at all. But I would say my top three is, number one, in no order as well. Number one would be just looking for things in common. I'm looking for things that I could relate to with this girl, but obviously not to a crazy extent because you need some balance, yada, yada. But when you do already have a lot of similarities with a girl, like, I don't know, race or mixed race for me, or, you know, like, we like the same music, like, that's important for me, because I'm not going to date a girl who's, like, polar opposite. Number two would be she has to have a sense of humor, because I definitely have a sense of humor. You know me.
Touche.
But I just can't date, like, a boring girl, and we might have something similar there. But number three... I have to like a girl that doesn't always want to be a homebug, you know, who is social. That's the word. The girl has to be social. She has to enjoy, you know, going out a couple times a week. And I don't mean on the weekend nights, but like I can't stay in every night, and definitely not 6-7 nights a week. And I can only stay in maybe 2 or 3. And that's just me. I'm a bit outgoing. I'm a bit social. I like to go out and do things. And I get that some people don't. I get that people like to chill in their homes. But me, for what I'm looking in a girl, is definitely someone who, let me recap. One, I got things in common with. Two, likes to go out and stuff. And three, the humor part. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me what you think your top three are?
I guess my top three factors. One, you know, I look for physical attraction, obviously. I want them to be my lady of choice to be pretty. Two, I look for someone who can hold my attention. Obviously, I'm a little bit all over the place. But if you can keep my attention, that's definitely some form of compatibility. And three, I look for someone who's fun. You know, life is way too serious to not have fun with your significant other. But Jay, it's been funny to me to kind of watch us grow up. You know, we spent our entire high school together, even some good parts of college. So, you know, those are the lighter years of dating and significant others, and where things can get a bit funny. So I've seen some idol prospects for myself and you. But it's funny how our perspective and, you know, what we come to look for in a partner has changed over the years. Jay, what would you say is the biggest difference now that you're a young adult versus when you were a kid, I guess, when you would look for a significant other?
Well, man, it hurts to say this. And I'm, for all you listeners, it's hurting me to say this right now. And for you youngsters, you should feel lucky. But now that I am 23 going on 24, when I'm looking at women now and who I want to be with, I have to factor in settling down. I have to factor it in, because let's say we give it a good 2-3 years and that's a healthy, good relationship. You know, I want to be like 26, 27. I mean, I get that, you know, YOLO, be single, live life, yada, yada. But it's just, that's something I think about now. Opposed to when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, it was just straight, you know, who knows if I'm going to end up with this girl, let me just go with the flow. And I do sometimes take that approach these days, but it's a factor. These days, it's a factor. Can I settle down with this girl? Can she be my wife? Can I have kids with this girl? It's a factor for sure. So yeah, man, what about you? What's different opposed to when you were young and compared to now? What's the difference?
For me, as odd as this may seem, you know, that's a good question, Jay. I had to ponder for a second, but I do look for a partner whom now, you know, can challenge me mentally. So someone who will stimulate my mind, or someone who will make me think differently, or even expand the way I think, you know. I thought of X, but I didn't think of it as XY, you know, someone who can challenge already the thought process I already have going and further it into a deeper and more elegant manner and evolve my thought process. You know, as they say, iron sharpens iron. So I definitely do like that when I can be engaged mentally.
Okay, but I thought I just heard you say, brother, that physical attraction was one of the top three. I didn't hear nothing about mental or anything like that. Am I sure I'm hearing you right? Am I?
No, you're right, Jay. You know, obviously, physical attraction is very important. And I think that's cool. But, you know, after so long or after 50 or 60 years, someone can only be physically attractive for so long. And, you know, after maybe seeing someone every day, you know, they become normal to you. So the most enticing thing to me is when you can stimulate my mind, that'll never go away. You know, that although your physical demeanor or physical appearance can change, if you can stimulate someone's mind, that'll never change. So Justice, I know you're a bit of everything. You got some Native American in you, some Caucasian, some Black, you know, a handful of different ethnic groups is what gives us Jigga Man. So let me just address the elephant in the room. What do you think about interracial dating, and what are some of your thoughts in terms of modern interracial dating?
Yeah, man. He's definitely right, people. I'm a big melting pot. I literally got it all in me besides any type of Indian. Yeah, I have no Indian in me, yeah. But and when I say Indian, I don't mean Native American. I mean Middle Eastern over there. I have nothing of that in me. But besides the point, it's 2018, man. I really don't think of it as much anymore. I think it's great how far we've come as a nation. Even compared to 10 years ago, I think we've still made strides, and I hope we continue to make progress. But I guess I really just don't think of it anymore. Like, obviously I wouldn't, and because I am in the Bay Area, you just see it so much. But I'm sure there are definitely some southern towns. There are just, I bet there are still a lot of small pockets of America where that's not okay, and that sucks. But I think overall we've made a lot of good progress. And I also think that it's just a beautiful thing, you know, that two people can come together from completely different backgrounds and all that and still come together and love one another. But like I said, you know, it's 2018, so I've come to expect that from people, that everyone should want to date with them, you know, outside of their own race. But some people don't want to, and I guess a part of me understands that as well, that they just want to stay within their own race.
No, obviously I don't have any, you know, problem with interracial dating. I think interracial dating is good in terms of for our society to see that different ethnic groups can have a romantic relationship. I think it's good for those said people whom are from two different ethnic groups to kind of gain another's perspective. I think, you know, obviously, when you are with someone from a different race or culture, that you will embody and understand where they're coming from in a completely different light. On the opposite end of the spectrum, I also do understand and can see comfortability and better understanding with staying with someone within the same ethnic group or, you know, nationality. I can see, you know, what's understood doesn't need to be explained, in short. So I think that can eliminate a lot of problems or controversy to come when two people are coming from two completely different worlds. But no, I think interracial dating is good, not only for the people, but also for our society, because our world, as funny as it sounds, we're still real black and white and cut and dry, and this is that. So no, I think it's good. I think it's a good thing. Okay, so we touched obviously on race and ethnic groups, but Jay, now that we're adults in out of high school, so it's not sophomore, junior, or sophomore, senior, which seemed to be the biggest deal at the time. 2 years is so minimal and minuscule to a relationship now. Is there a cutoff age now that we're adults? Like, is there a range of dating age which is appropriate, or which jigaman may feel deemed best for a young adult? You know, I think it's just funny, like, oh man, 2 or 3 years seemed like the biggest age gap when you're in high school or a teenager or even younger. I'm like, oh man, she's in eighth grade, she'll never like me, I'm only in sixth grade. Now I'm 24, 2 years seems like nothing. I was like, man, listen, I'm an adult. Like, I don't know. It's so interesting how our perspectives have developed and changed as time has brought us along. But Jay, is there a cutoff age, or how do you feel about age groups in terms of dating now with your significant other?
Well, you know, personally, I would say maybe 20 through like 27, I think is good for me, but for anyone else, any other adult, I would say 7 years up, 7 years down would be pretty normal to me. And then outside of that, I mean, look, who am I to tell, you know, someone who to love and who not to? Mm-hmm. But there are definitely some weird occurrences. I think we could all agree on that. But yeah, so a committed relationship for me, I'm looking at like, you know, 20 through 27. 27 through 50, I wouldn't really do like a committed relationship. I mean, something casual. But what do you think, man, for you in terms of dating?
I would say like maybe 5 years up or down, give or take for me personally. I still don't feel like that's too big of a window, but just enough to make things relative and, you know, kind of still listen to the similar music, fashion, things of the nature. I think that would make things, in terms of my personal opinion, a little bit more fluid in terms of a significant other. Outside of 5 years might be too much for... that's too much. That's too much. But let's keep the ball rolling, Jay. Let's take the people in the S2 with sports. I think significant others and dating and relative of the subcategory of sports is very interesting, especially coming from myself as a former Division I athlete. I could see how having common interests could be enticing to, you know, anyone, obviously, in relatively speaking to sports, especially when, you know, from personal experience, when you're in college, you know, that you kind of understand someone's struggle or what they're going through, or the, you know, the grind and the grit of everyday practice, lift, conditioning, travel. I think, you know, a certain level of empathy is being able to be provided when two people are experiencing similar things. You know, it's kind of like a tattoo. No matter what I tell you, no matter how well I am able to describe the sensation of a tattoo, you'll never truly understand what a tattoo feels like until you experience getting a tattoo for yourself. And that's how I feel the same way about sports. You know, I think that kind of is why sometimes you'll see athletes kind of geared or favor other athletes as well. But I don't know, Jay, give me some insight from a real track star, huh?
Come on, man. Everybody, that was a dig. I played track for like 2 years in high school. I don't use track. I don't mention track outside of like a conversation starter or a pickup line in terms of dating. I never dated within track or nothing like that. But I can't agree with you on the tattoo point. You definitely have that on the money. You can't really explain to someone what it feels like until you actually get one. So I can see how you're saying about, you know, dating people within the sports.
That's definitely a good point. Okay, so do you find yourself to be more attracted to women whom like the same sports that you like? Or are sports even relative? Or, you know, do you like a girl that can sit down, watch a basketball game with you and may have more basketball knowledge than yourself? You know, how does their or your significant other's understanding or interest in sports kind of affect how you feel towards them?
Well, see, it's funny because I know guys who don't like sports or who really don't like them or only tiny bit like them. They don't like that. They think that's a turnoff or whatever. But I'm a sports guy. I love all sorts of sports. You know, even hockey I like. For me, it would be a plus, and she would also have to understand, you know, my love for sports. But what about you?
I mean, it's cool. I like when my significant other can talk sports, you know, but wouldn't necessarily say that's a plus. I personally don't care if she likes sports or not. I do think it's cool, though, if you're willing to tolerate, you know, something that you know I have interest or enjoy. Because that's love in a nutshell, you know, putting up with something you have no interest about or for in partaking. Let's flip the script. So, Jigman, have you ever been in a situation or instance or can recall, or let's just play hypothetical, that you had met a girl and her sports knowledge crushed yours? She just dominated your sports knowledge. How would you interact with that type of situation or interaction? Would that make you a bit turned off or, you know, timid because the woman whom you're interested in or significant other is stumping the schwami? In short, like they know everything in regards to the sport you have interest in. Or is that attractive to you? Do you like, oh, man, wow, she could work for ESPN. Like, how would that make you feel if you were outsported in your own sport by a female or your significant other?
Look, I'm going to be honest here, man, and I'm not front, but probably 7 to 8 times out of 10, that wouldn't happen just because I know my stuff beyond the average person. But if I did walk into ESPN today, I would definitely get dominated by the nearest, you know, female news reporter. So if that was to actually happen, I'd be a bit embarrassed, especially if she chose the time to come out and show that. Like, I could be talking crap all game, and then at the end of it, she just rips my head off with all these things I was wrong about. That'd definitely be embarrassing. But in a way, I'd also like it because I'm a sports guy. what about you, man? Let's turn the situation around on you. You tell me what you would think. Because I already know. I got something in my head. I think I already know what you're about to say.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I'm not going to lie. I'd be a little embarrassed if I tried to, like, start dropping facts and statistics. And my lady was like, oh, well, that's actually wrong. It was X, Y, and Z. You know, it'd be cool, but don't do that in public to me. Like, but no, whatever. But okay, Jay, let's flip the script. Let's say you have a significant other whom is interested in a sport which you are not. How would you interact with some type of situation of the nature? Would you partake in watching or participating in said sport or event? Or would you just kind of be like, okay, I'll see you later?
Yeah, so it depends on the sport that you're referring to. So, for instance, let's say this girl really liked... Okay, I got two sports in mind. Golf and baseball. Let's say she loved those two sports. I would have problems going to those live events all the time. You know, I'd love to watch a baseball game or, you know, golf on a Sunday. Like, I like to watch those during separate times. But you're not going to drag me to, you know, 4 or 5 of those every month. I'll do like 1 or 2. So it'd have to be in balance, because you could bet your bottom dollar that I'm not going to 5 baseball games a month. It's just not happening. It's no way. But yeah, I'll do the 1 or 2.
No, I hear you, Jigman. Hey, look, I'm not mad at you, bro. I was just asking. This is the whole point of the conversation, dialogue, right? But okay, no. Let's keep the show rolling. Let's jump into S3 and scholars in terms of significant others and dating. So, Jay, I know per our discussion earlier, you brought up a really good point. And, you know, oftentimes people feel that the ultimate melting pot is college, and that's where you'll meet the love of your life and this, that, and, you know, you need to get married by late 20s or early 20s, whatever. So why do people feel that college is where you typically can find this ideal significant other? Is it because of there's such a large melting pot and people from all different walks of life and geographical locations come to one said location? Like, what is it about college that people think this is the utopia of significant others? Can you provide some insight, Jigamir?
Yeah, for certain. So I think it's really just, you know, 18, 19 year olds all kind of going through the same thing together and going through very similar transformations, where, you know, all have their hormones pumping and they're alone for the first time. Most of them are. So I think you go through these things together and you automatically bond with the people around you. And that's why you see a lot of people coupling off and this and that. I'm not going to say it never, but your first, second, third girlfriend, shoot, your fourth, you're probably not going to be with that girl for the rest of your life in college. So, you know, just don't put all your eggs in one basket. And that's my advice for college kids. And that's not to hate on love and couples.
No, those are valid points. And I do agree that to some extent it is the ultimate melting pot, because you're surrounded by like-minded individuals in terms of a goal of wanting to receive higher education. You're around, for the most part, people in a similar age group and, you know, but people come from very different walks of life to get it to college. So I think that is cool in the sense that, you know, it is a good opportunity to network and meet new people. But I think in terms of it being a utopia or a perfect place to find, you know, your significant other or partner, I think each situation is situational. So I don't think there's that would, I don't think I would consider college, you know, a utopia for your significant other. But let's kind of run with that. In terms of college or learning or education, what do you look for, Jigman, from your significant other from an educational or a knowledge standpoint?
Man, I don't know why you're asking me this. I don't have a college degree. Therefore, all she must have is a GED. That was a joke. To be fair here, no. Oh, yeah, I'm not looking for anything formally. You know, I don't even care if she has a GED because I'm sure there's some explanation. But, you know, as long as I'm able to have an intelligent conversation with my significant other, I don't really care. I'm not looking for anything specific. You know, just I hope she's as curious about the world as I am.
No, that's fair. Hey, like I said, you know, to each his own. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I think I would say I don't necessarily look for something specific either in terms of an educational standpoint. I think it's cool if someone has their degree. That's always a plus. But if not, it's not like it's a minus. I do like when someone can inform me on information or topics which I guess I lack information or understanding. But that could be anyone or anything. You know, it doesn't have to be from a person who has their undergrad or their master's or their doctorate. You know, anyone can teach anybody anything. Okay, Jay, I got to ask you this because I've never asked you this before. But have you ever taken a class in college to expose yourself to more females? Like, did you take a psychology class knowing there would be a bunch of girls in there? Did you ever do that?
No, man, I didn't do that. But my study of choice happened to be psychology. So I got lucky like that. But no, I never did any of that stuff like I bet you did.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was another phenomenal episode. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you all. I appreciate your time. Please partake in the gear giveaway. Check out our Facebook page or check out episode 1. There's promo talk for the gear giveaway, the Mookie Mel Challenge. We're still trying to help a handful of our very loyal fans to receive some of this exclusive Mookie Mel gear. But until next week, y'all, again, thank you. Jigga.
Yup.
Man, thank you again, my friend. But go on and hit the people with the facts, boy.
10-4. Yeah, so I'm sure y'all could hear the excitement in my voice, but I had a lot of fun doing that episode, and I hope you guys could hear it. We hadn't done one of these, you know, guest episodes with me and Miles in a couple of weeks now, so we figured it was the right time to do it. And it's like the perfect topic because everybody can relate to it, and, you know, you can make it funny if you want to. So, again, really appreciate your time. Really appreciate you coming back. And if you're new, please do keep coming back. Nothing else except have a great week, and thanks again. Mookie Mel Show, outie!